Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Luke. Now to Pastor Chris.
Luke 21 on our journey through the Word, and one of the most essential prophecies in the entire Bible, with predictions spanning two millennia, from the destruction of Israel to the end of the world as we know it. The Bible is loaded with prophecies about the end of the world, but what did Jesus have to say about it? After all, Jesus is a priest, a king, and a prophet. He gave a number of prophecies in the gospel accounts, but the most extensive is found right here in Luke 21, also known as the Olivet Discourse. The prophecy begins with a simple comment made by the disciples as they walk around Jerusalem with Jesus. It starts in verse 5, "And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, 'As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down.' And they asked him, 'Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?'" Now it turns out that this short introduction is a real key to understanding the prophecy that will roll out through the rest of the chapter. The disciples are walking by the temple, a little awestruck by the beautiful stones it was made of, and by the many gifts offered there to God. And if you had seen it, you would be too. The stones were massive and expertly crafted and adorned with gold throughout the temple. And to see the gifts and all the people, you would think that they were very devoted. But Jesus helps the disciples to look past what they see. Notice how he starts in verse 6, "As for these things that you see." That's a key to faith, isn't it? Looking past what you see in front of you to perceive the unseen. To look to God's word and believe that God's plan for what will be is a greater and more permanent reality than the one you see right in front of you. The disciples were impressed by the temple, and Jesus uses the occasion to open their eyes to something much bigger, God's big plan for Israel and for the world. In verse 7, the disciples ask two questions, and these are key to the chapter. When will these things happen, and what are the signs that they are about to take place? So Jesus delivers a whole chapter's worth of signs. The prophecy here breaks into a few pieces, and each one represents a different time period. It may help you to mark the transition points at verse 8, verse 12, verse 20, and verse 25. The first prophecy is back in verse 6, the destruction of the temple, and it came true quite literally less than four decades later. In 70 AD, the Romans laid siege to Jerusalem. A fire was set in the temple, melting the gold and allowing it to run between the stones. Roman soldiers, greedy for the gold, tore apart every last stone. This pivotal event marks the end of Israel's time in their homeland. After 70 AD, the Jews were scattered throughout the world for almost 1,900 years. Now, this prophecy came true literally, and that's important. Why? Because there are those who will tell you that all the end times prophecy stuff is just figurative language. But the first prophecy came true literally, as have many others, and I believe the rest will too. Now, if there are dragons and beasts in the prophecy, those are symbolic, but symbolic of real people and real events. So the disciples ask for signs to look for in verse 7, and watch how Jesus begins his answer in verse 8. "And he said, 'See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them.'" Before Jesus gets to any specific signs, he delivers a warning. Don't be deceived. Prophecy can be confusing, and there are many deceptions that take advantage of one verse and mix up truth with lies. Be careful of anyone who claims to have a personal inside track on God's plan. Stick with the Bible and good teaching directly from it. Jesus tells of false messiahs, wars, revolutions, earthquakes, famines, but that's not the end yet. Then in verse 12, he backs up. "But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you." Before all this means back up in time. The time between 70 AD and those signs at the end will be marked by persecution. And indeed, Christians and Jews have been persecuted from the times of the Romans to the times of the Muslims and the communists. Now, when it comes to prophecy, I'm always leery of anyone who predicts that everything is going to be great. Jesus doesn't do that. He tells his disciples reality. Persecution is coming, and it will not be easy. Amazingly, though, this is not a discouragement, but an encouragement. He is giving them courage. And in verse 17, Jesus says, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. So persecution is a part of our walk with Christ, but Jesus puts it into perspective. He says people will hate you just for being a Christian, but not a hair on your head will perish. Now how does that work? Christians are beaten and killed around the world, but the word perish refers to the second death, going to hell. And no matter what they do to you in this world, not the tiniest part of you will perish. Stand firm for Christ and you will gain life. If you want to encourage those who face persecution today, please check out persecution.com. Then in verse 20, Jesus makes another transition. The disciples asked when these things would happen, and Jesus gives them a sign to watch for. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know that its desolation has come near. If you want prophetic signs, watch Jerusalem. Watch for attacks. That was a sign in 70 AD, and it will be again in the last days. And from the looks of things in the news, we're getting close. Then at the end of verse 24, Jesus uses a phrase that is key in this prophecy, the times of the Gentiles. Now a Gentile is anyone who is not Jewish. Keep in mind, Jesus was giving this prophecy to Jews. In verse 24, Jesus says that the Jews will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So what does Jesus mean by the times of the Gentiles? Well, in prophecy, it is the time in history when God works to bring salvation to the whole world. The gospel of Jesus is preached to all nations, not just the Jews. It's also called the church age, and it's going on now. It ends with the rapture, then the tribulation, which is a time for the Jews again. During the times of the Gentiles, Jesus says the Jews will be scattered around the world and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles. And that's exactly what happened, once again, quite literally. But in 1948, something changed, and it was big. Israel regained her homeland. And in 1967, in an unprovoked attack from their enemies, Israel, simply defending themselves, took back Jerusalem. That was huge. What did Jesus say? Gentiles would trample on Jerusalem until the age of the Gentiles was fulfilled. When the Israelites took back Jerusalem in 1967, one of the major puzzle pieces for the last days was set in place. So in verse 25, Jesus jumps past the age of the Gentiles to the tribulation. The signs in that time are big. Signs in the sun, moon, and stars, seas tossing, nations in anguish. But the biggest one is in verse 27. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. There it is, what all of prophecy and all of history are building up to. Jesus will come back with power and great glory. This is the second coming of Christ. Now the rapture happens at the beginning of the tribulation, though some would argue that. But I believe this is a different event. Jesus returns to earth, the second coming. So for the Jews who get caught in the tribulation, when the world will again gather to attack Jerusalem, verse 28 is for you. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. So there you have it, Jesus' sweeping prophecy of the signs and times of the end. Read Luke 21 for yourself today. Start watching for the signs and find out what the world is coming to. Jesus sums it up in verse 31. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. That's what it's all about. The kingdom of God is near, not just figuratively, literally. Jesus is coming soon to set up his kingdom to rule this world in power and great glory. Are you ready?
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries in Diamond Head, Mississippi. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.